You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. We're going to dig into this. Why? How can they just ignore illegal immigration law? We'll discuss that in a few. We're going to get to emails. Apparently, I have to go scuba diving for ammunition. I will explain. And Democrats are condemning America itself. All that and more coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Just a heads up, I'm aware of the chaos going on right now at the Democrat convention. If you're not aware, it's been going on all day. It's gotten worse. It'll get worse every evening. So, look, I'll come back to this illegal immigration thing. I should probably add this little disclaimer here. I am not going to update you all week long on what the street animals are doing in Chicago. You have a bunch of animals. They're street communists. They're violent, despicable people. Mass murderers is really what they are. They've gathered to protest and or worship their elite communist leaders in Chicago. So you have this big bowl of, I want you to picture whale vomit and rhino poop. And this big bowl of whale vomit and rhino poop, it's been combined in the city formerly known as Chicago. They're going to be in trouble all week long. I know about the arrests. The protesters have breached the fences. I know, and I'm not going to keep you updated. If you would like to know what's going on this week, all week long, on the streets of Chicago, go down to the gorilla enclosure in the zoo and hang out until you see them start throwing poop at each other. And that's exactly what's happening this week in Chicago. I'm not updating you on everything. They're all beating each other up. And in fact, I'll come back to that in just a minute. We touched on that a little, but I want to finish. We got to talk about this illegal immigration thing because it's a lot more important than what's happening in Chicago. I do think it's hilarious. This little headline from Politico this morning, I'm not making this up. Democrats arrive in Chicago as a party lacking drama. They are disciplined, orderly, and united around VP Harris. They printed this article less than 12 hours before their own protesters were breaching the fencing and the riot cops were called in. Anyway, back to illegal immigration. The email was, I just don't understand how a president can just ignore immigration laws and nothing can be done about it. So I'm going to play for you what Gretchen Whitmer just went on television and said.
What we need to do is have a system, an immigration system that works, number one. We need to secure the border. We need to make sure that when people are in this country, that they have access to have some form of ID. That's really important. And I think to the spirit of those things, I think, should be a part of any vision for the country and our security and how we bring great people into this country legally.
Let me ask you something. It's a A or B question, so there's no C. So just let me ask you something, and you don't have to email me an answer. I just want you to think about this for a moment. Regardless of what's happening, whatever happens in November, Trump wins, Dome wins, regardless of whatever happens in November, let me ask you, which of the two things do you think is more likely for our future of the country? The first thing is a huge roundup and deportation of illegals. That's option A. Or B, the federal government arresting the people who are angry about the illegals. I'm not talking about November, so don't do what you're trying to do right now. Well, if Trump wins, I get all that. I'm talking about our future, not just the next 4 years, over the next 10, 20 years. I'm really asking, which do you think is more likely? Mass deportation or mass arrest of you? I only ask because if you opened your eyes and looked around, you would see how the government is going to react.
We will guarantee people a prison cell.
With the numbers are so tight there, how can you make that guarantee?
They are tight, and that's why we've initiated Operation Early Dawn. So basically, the easiest way to describe it is one in, one out. So as people get released, we can then pick up people from police cells and take them to court.
Operation Early Dawn. As you could tell, that was taking place. It is taking place in the UK. You see, the UK, they too imported barbarians from all over the planet, destroyed their culture, remade their society. They too did this with the aid of their Democrat Party. It's known as the Labour Party over there. So the immigrants they allowed to pour into the country were allowed because of the Labour Party. And a deal was struck. The Labour Party said, hey, you guys are going to keep voting for us forever, right? And the immigrants said, well, yeah, we will. Are you guys going to provide us legal protection so we can do whatever we want to your country? And the Labour Party said, yeah, we will. And now the people of the UK, the citizens, the patriotic citizens, have had quite enough of it. They're tired of being raped and murdered by the hordes, the barbarian hordes coming from all over. And so they've started to take to the streets in protest. And in response to this, the UK government did not start rounding up the immigrants and shipping them back from whence they came. The UK government is now emptying the UK prisons of murderers to make room for the people who are protesting about the immigration policies. Allow me to ask you again. I don't care about November. That's a short-term thing. Which do you think is more likely for the future of your country? There will be mass deportations or mass arrests of American citizens who are angry about the immigration? All you have to do is look around. Now, that leads me back to the email. The email was, Jesse, I don't understand how a president can just ignore immigration laws and nothing can be done about it. He took an oath to uphold the Constitution, which includes the laws of the land. Where are the lawyers? Please explain. Civilization is a funny thing, isn't it? What makes a country civilized versus a country that's uncivilized? And I'm not one of the people who's against civilization, but why would you, what would, if you lived in Rome back in the day in all of its glory, running water, indoor plumbing, things like that, and then you ventured from Rome and you went north up into Gaul, modern day France, and you saw the Celts up there, the Gallic tribes, and they're having sacrifices and living dirtier and things like that. Obviously, civilization, lack of civilization, these are things that have been discussed throughout history. But one of the things that makes civilization civilization is the fact the people who run the civilization want to be civilized, meaning they want to be ruled by things like the law. In fact, I used Rome. I didn't even do this on purpose. One of the things that made Rome so unique was for their time, hey, we don't have a king. There ain't no chief here. There ain't no king allowed. The law rules here. And the law is for everyone, for a big fancy, because they had a caste system, for lack of a better way to put it. They had senators, and below them they had the Roman knights. It was their knight thing. And you know, way down below they had people like prostitutes and actors. And yes, believe it or not, those two were actually considered to be on the same plane as far as the lowest rungs in society. But still, the law was thought of as supreme there. So fast forwarding to the end, when all of a sudden they had an emperor, how could they have an emperor in a society that was built on not having an emperor, not having a dictator, not having a king. All of a sudden, these people who were in charge would just do whatever they wanted. And there was all this government corruption and the senators wouldn't get arrested anymore. And what? How did that happen? I don't understand. You're a Roman citizen looking at Emperor Nero saying, I don't understand. There's a law. Well, civilization is only civilization because they want to be civilized. And people who have power, real true power, guns, money, things like that, things that, the power. People who have power only ever stay within the law until they figure out they can't, or until they figure out they don't have to anymore, is how I want to put it. Powerful people don't stay within the law. They don't stay within the rules. They don't stay within fences once they figure out they don't need to stay in fences. They don't enforce the law because no one wants to make them enforce the law. And they've figured out at least half the American people don't care. What's that old quote by Pompey Magnus? Do not quote laws to men with swords. That's why. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost forgot to mention Joe Biden speaking tonight at the convention. And this is what's being reported. I don't have confirmation on this, but there are legit reporters talking about this. Joe Biden is not going to stay for when Dome gives her acceptance speech. Now, I know that may sound small. That's a huge deal. A huge deal. And think about this. Joe Biden was running again. They just knifed him in the back, shoved him right out the back of the White House, and pretty much forced him to show up tonight to give a speech. But he's so spiteful. He's not even staying for Dome's speech. Ooh. Oh, and this is a doozy. The Democratic National Convention land acknowledgement. I'm reading this verbatim. They put this out today, the first day of the DNC. I love these people. The Democratic National Committee wishes to acknowledge that we gather together to state our values on lands that have been stewarded through many centuries by ancestors and descendants of tribal nations who have been here since time immemorial. We honor the communities native to this continent and recognize that our country was built on indigenous homelands. Gosh, oh, that murders me. And I just want to remind you, again, there's no such thing as indigenous. There are lands that have been conquered, and there are lands that will be conquered. All lands, they're all conquered lands. And when the various Indian tribes were running things around this country, many of which I'm a fan of, when they were running things, they were conquering each other all the time. And that whole, the Indians didn't even believe in land ownership. That hippie drool is idiotic crap you learn from your communist history teacher who doesn't know anything about the world. The Indians were more than happy to do what every other person of every other skin color and religion on earth is happy to do, and that's kill people for the right to your water, your land, your resources, your animals. Men kill other men for the rights to land. The Indians were no different. America was conquered. It was conquered by a bunch of white Europeans who came over here, established a country, had better guns, and realized, wow, this place is nice. I think we'll take all of it. And they did. The country was conquered. And before that, every single swinging Indian tribe on every plot of ground, from the Pueblos to the Apaches to the Comanches to the Blackfeet to the Iroquois to the Seminoles to everyone in between, they were all busy conquering at all times. Conquest, ugly, terrible, and murderous as it may be, is man's nature. Of course, because the Democrat Party is the anti-America party, they must pretend at all times like we've done some kind of unique evil here that has never been done anywhere before. And of course, the saintly, peaceful natives, they weren't doing anything wrong until we got here. America was conquered. We conquered it. You want me to explain it to you in detail?
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Dear full-time dad, part-time radio host, I wholeheartedly agree with you about becoming an activist in your local community. I also agree that more anti-communists should be running for local office. I'm about your age. I have two kids. I own a thriving small business. I coach my kids' sports teams. I always try to attend school functions and parent-teacher conferences, and I enjoy spending some time with my wife, our family, and our friends. How does a busy parent become more active in the community? What are some little ways we can contribute and what little spare time we have? I love the show Keep Your Name Out of This. Well, I'm glad you asked, because this is the case for a lot of people who listen. We have single men, single women, old women, married people, kids, all kinds of people. But there are lots of people, this is their situation. They don't have time. They've got lives and families and schools. And I know what this is like. Not only do we have kids, they're at that dreadful, dreadful age where they're in sports, but they can't drive yet. So it's just, look, I'll tell you, this Saturday, I'll be at a cross-country meet all day. I think we're up at 5:30 this Saturday. So while you're living it up, sleeping it in, I'll be off in the dark. Look, it's just the way it is. So I understand time is not endless. Your time, my time is not endless. Little things matter too. I brought up local activism. That doesn't mean you have to give up 8 hours on a Saturday to go knock on doors for a school board candidate. Can you send out a group text message to your friends letting them know when the next local election is with guidance on who to vote for? Anyone can do that. That's 10 minutes of research and 30 seconds to type up the text. A bunch of normal people doing things like that is activism. You don't have to just donate all your time and money and give up your family. That's not what I'm saying, and I would never want that. The family is the building block of this country. That counts as political activism. But we can all do a little something extra. Told you about that one Friday. Knocked off work. There was a local candidate get-together. I drug down there for an hour, had a beer, talked to some people, figured out who I was going to vote for. And was it fun? No. Last thing I wanted to do on a Friday. Still did it. An hour. It was an hour, right? Look, on the way home, I called the wife. Told her, hey, I've just been suffering. I hope you have some baked goods or something ready. And the call didn't drop because I called on a Pure Talk phone, you see. Pure Talk, they share and promote my values. As you watch the street animals gather in Chicago this week and throw poop at each other, you should know that major cell phone companies have funded inhuman amounts of communist street activism. I want you to do me a favor. Look, just do this for me. Go to the internet, whether it's on your phone or a computer. I want you to look up your cell phone provider and Black Lives Matter and see how much they donated to those people. Pure Talk didn't. I have the Patriotic Cell Phone Company. Same 5G network, so I don't sacrifice service. I pay half of what you pay, and I don't support a company who hates me. Pure Talk loves me. They love you. They love our values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Today's the day. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You see this, Chris? Switzerland dumped munitions into its lakes. It's now offering $57,000 for the best idea to get them out. Hear me out, Chris. No, just listen. Just listen. We could get in on that. We'll underbid. We'll say $30,000. We'll go get the ammo out. We cut a deal with them. We keep the ammo. That's why they get to pay us less. And here's the kicker. They have to pay for the trip. First class air travel. So they'll pay for us to get over there. They'll pay for all the cheese and whatever else those people eat. We'll scuba dive, scoop up hordes of ammo. What, Chris? What? You've never been scuba diving? Oh, Chris, I've been scuba diving illegally several times. Allow me to explain. No, it's fine. I'm not certified or anything like that. But listen, money talks, okay? So the first time I ever went scuba diving, we took a family vacation. This is after I was in the Marines. I was older, but the whole family got back together and we took a vacation to Hawaii. I freaking love Hawaii. I love Hawaii. Anyway, we went to Hawaii and we decided to go snorkeling on one of these snorkeling / scuba diving exhibitions. You go on with a big group, right? So take us out in the water and you could, quote, scuba dive even if you weren't certified, but they had to do some kind of like in the water training for you. And even then, they pretty much had to hold your hand and you could only go, I forget what the number was, 20 feet below the surface or something like that. It wasn't very deep and it wasn't very adventurous. Well, I love the water. I grew up in the water. My folks always had us in the water. We were always at a lake or a river or a pool, or one of our neighbors had a pool. Like, it was just, I'm a water person. Well, I loved it and I wanted more. I think my old man bribed him, if I remember right. It sounds like something my dad would do. Probably slipped him a 20 or something and said, hey, because we had time, knowing everyone was done. He said, hey, take him back out. He wants to do some more. And the guy's like, hey, you want to go have an adventure? And you know me, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do something dangerous. He said, yeah, all right, let's go. So we start diving and diving and diving. And soon we're 60, 70 feet down. And we're down there. Oh, it was awesome, Chris. We're down there with the sharks. And it's crazy. Oh, they weren't big great white sharks. They were little sharks. It was cool. It was really, really cool. Stingrays, and you're down there by the bottom, and you're looking up, and the top is way above, and your adrenaline starts pumping. And then he points at this underwater cave, and he's kind of giving me the, do you want to try to go in that? And I'm, yes, take me in the cave now. I got to go in the cave. Chris said how narrow it was. Or how narrow was it? I don't want to misspeak. I'll tell you this. I'm swimming straight. There's a light at the end of this cave, so it's a straight through cave. We're not going in and we're not swimming back. I would guess we're talking this thing was 150 feet long, maybe 200 feet long. So it was a ways. As I was swimming through it, I'll put it to you this way. Occasionally, my scuba tank on my back would touch the top. And no, it wasn't that tight. Below, I could reach down, but I have long arms. I could reach down and touch below. It wasn't that wide. It wasn't that narrow. I don't want to overstate it. It was tight. It was tight quarters. It was sick. It was crazy. He kept checking on me when we were halfway through the K. Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, let's keep going. More. It was awesome. Anyway, I'm ready to go to Switzerland. I've done this once. I very clearly am capable of diving down there and getting some ammunition. Have you seen the ammunition prices today? I'm ready for it. Hey, Jesse, I'm an unapologetic anti-communist here. I was just wondering if the street communists are stupid enough to not realize that Harris stole Trump's no tax on tips idea and they're actually buying into her crap. I just wanted your thoughts on this. Big fan of the show anyway. Well, you tell me.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I'm stealing from Peter to pay Paul. And I know it's cyclical. I know, you know, you can't blame the sitting president for everything that's wrong. You can't blame past presidents for everything that's wrong. But come on, guys, we gotta do something.
Again, that was earlier this summer. I checked in with Michelle again after President Biden dropped out of the race.
How do you feel about the race now?
This is going to sound crazy, but I feel better because I don't know. I know I said on my last interview, like, don't really hear from Kamala, but I think I'm with Kamala. I've watched her. I think she has to get her feet wet. She was only the vice president, like, but I think a woman running this country, oh, God, I hope.
Lady can't even pay the bills by her own admission. And she's going to run to the polls and vote for the exact same policies because Kamala Harris is a woman. I don't know what percentage of the country these kind of people are. I really, truly don't. So I don't want to act like we're going to lose the election because of people like this woman. We might. We might not. I don't know. We won't know till November. So I'm not telling you that. But you keep coming at these things logically. And I'm glad you do. You keep thinking, well, A and B must equal C. You keep coming at these things from a logical, sensible standpoint because you think about things. The mistake you make and the mistake I make, pointing fingers at me here, is I take that and I project that onto other people. Other people don't vote that way. A lot of other people don't vote that way. A lot of other people are morons. They vote on how they feel. That woman just said she can't pay her bills and she's voting for Kamala Harris because she's a woman. We talked about this a little bit last week. Because you're going to hear a lot of it. Just process that. What does that add? What tangible thing does having a woman as president add? Nothing. Nothing. Even if that's something you want, maybe you're a feminist or a woman and you want to see it. Okay, I understand that symbolically. I get it. But what tangible thing does that do for the country? You know, forget about the country. I don't even want to appeal to your patriotism. What tangible thing? Name one tangible thing that does for you. You can't because it doesn't exist. Because whatever sex you happen to be does not add anything to the office. That woman can't buy groceries and she's going to vote for Dome because she's a woman. Gosh, these are the people. These are the people we share a country with.
Or we'll bring the war home.
We'll bring the war home.
Piggy, piggy, go back home.
Piggy, piggy, go back home.
Or we'll bring the war home.
Or we'll bring the war home.
That guy needs to stop smoking. You can hear it. No, Chris, you can hear it. That's Lucky Strikes. That's something unfiltered, too. That's Marlboro Reds or Lucky Strikes. If he doesn't clean that up, he's not bringing the war anywhere, buddy. I'm just warning you right now. Hey, Jesse, I'm 13. I love your show. I recently went to Red Lobster for the first time. Oh, congratulations, young man. And I ordered crab. It tasted really good, but it was a pain in the butt to eat. I was wondering if you had any wisdom on this topic. Well, listen. I've been following Kamala Harris for a long time. I know all about crabs. Now, let me explain. To eat crab is very, very easy. You have to break it at the joints. You don't need any of the utensils they give you either. Any of that stuff. That's what girls do. You don't need any of that. You snap the joints, right? You just break it. Breaks off real easy at the joints. You break the joints. And then now that you've broken off a joint, you have just a little straight shell thing. You just snap and snap. Don't bend it all the way. You're just trying to break the structural integrity of the shell itself. Snap, snap. You get a little snap on it. You'll peel the shell right off. You're eating large chunkies of crab. What, Chris? Don't badmouth crab just because you're not allowed to eat it. We're not going to accept any of this bitterness from you, Chris. You know what? You've made your decisions in life, all right? I'm eating crab. You're not putting that on me. Anyway, we have one more segment left. If you struggle with crab, maybe you are like this young stud and no one has ever told you how, but maybe your T levels are too low. Maybe that's why you can't break the shell open. I understand that. There's estrogen in the water. We drink it and we shower in it. It's poisoning us. That's why you need a male vitality stack from Chalk. Honestly, I'm half tempted to just rent out one of those planes, one of those crop duster planes, and mix up a male vitality stack in some water and just spray all of Chicago this week. Those people will be voting Republican by the time they leave. Do you want a 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days with natural herbal supplements, not needles in your arm? 90 days to feel like a new person. CHOQ.com or call them or text them 50CHOQ3000. 50CHOQ3000. Tell the Dimes on the phone I sent you. They'll take good care of you. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I'm just so excited for the Democrat convention this week. I was tempted to go, but what would I actually do there? It would be fun to go undercover again. What, Chris? Do you want me to? It would be fun to go undercover, but then I don't know. I'm so worried about the food options. And it's not that Chicago doesn't have great food. It does have great food at these conventions. There's so much security. You can't get anywhere. I was just at the Republican convention. I mean, we had a great setup, and the iHeart setup was sick. It was awesome, but I was so hungry. I was just so hungry the whole time. I don't think I'm going to be able to do another convention. Anyway, I wanted to do this before we got to headlines I didn't get to. Historical Oracle. Harley Davidson is under fire for going woke in DEI. DEI doesn't care about shareholders maximizing company owner value. DEI has stakeholders. I doubt most stakeholders are shareholders or even customers. Why aren't customers considered stakeholders? His name is Larry. I just wanted to bring this up again. This is something we talked about in the past, but this is something you have to keep in mind when it comes to the communist takeover of corporations, which they have very much done. Remember, a corporation, if it's a publicly traded company, a corporation has an obligation. In fact, they have a legal obligation to serve the shareholders, meaning the people who own shares in the company. If I'm a shareholder, I have 50 stocks in Coca-Cola, and Chris is the CEO of Coca-Cola. Chris is not allowed to do things to Coca-Cola that will lower my stock price intentionally. If he's found to do things that, I mean, he can try to help it and fail, but he has to be trying to improve my shareholder. He has to, my shareholder value, he has an obligation as CEO to try and improve that. That's what it means to be a shareholder. But they're trying to change that into being stakeholder. Be very, very, very alarmed whenever you hear this word stakeholder. What does a stakeholder mean? Who is a stakeholder? Well, a stakeholder is everyone. Yeah, you don't have to own shares in Coca-Cola. Well, I could do things, if this was Chris, I could do things that would help Jesse's stock value, but he's only a shareholder if instead we eliminate our entire gas-powered fleet and cost the company $50 billion to buy all electric vehicles. Yes, it hurts the company's bottom line, but because we're all citizens of Mother Earth, it helps the stakeholders, which is everyone. Stakeholder, whenever you hear that term, it should set off alarm bells throughout your head. Through your head, throughout your head, whatever. I can't talk today. Here's Klaus Schwab talking about it.
We have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I
notice how Klaus doesn't even hide the fact it's two very different systems. You can serve your shareholders, or you can serve, well, what ends up being the communist cause, the state, but you can't serve them both at once.
I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
Combined with social responsibility. Remember that show I did that one time? Three of the most dangerous words in the English language: corporate social responsibility. If your corporation of any kind is having those meetings, sending out those emails, that's communism. Just know that. Oh, by the way, I need to thank you for something before I do headlines I didn't get to. You know how I was telling you the IFCJ, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, they were trying to find 500 listeners to do this thing where if you donate $150, they have a donor who's going to match it up to 500 listeners. And now how we just started doing this, 150 of you have already done it. It's freaking amazing. They're already at 150. So thank you for that. And if you'd like to help with flak jackets and firefighting stuff and armored vehicles and bomb shelters and everything else, do it. $150, someone will match it. You have to call them 888-488-IFCJ or you can go to supportifcj.org, all right? All right.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Free abortions and vasectomies sold out at the DNC. I don't know how you sell out of things that are free. And more than that, I can't believe that vasectomies are even needed at that place. Drug company announces it will produce millions of monkeypox vaccines by the next year. It is so crazy how every now and then the World Health Organization will declare something to be a public emergency right before a new vaccine is rolled out from the pharmaceutical companies. Oh my gosh, it's almost like they're in it together. UMass will teach rich tradition of transnational black feminist and queer Marxist theorizing. Reminder to you to be very, very careful where you send that child you've spent 18 years raising. Biden-Harris administration waives sanctions on Iran's terror-spreading state broadcaster as Tehran plots Israel attack. I'm not totally convinced at this point in time that Iran is going to do anything. I know they have to do something. That's the way of thinking, and I still think that, but it's been a long time. How long does it take to plan something? Walls praised Chinese communism as a system where everyone shares. Yes, this, Vice President Walls.
It's hard to remember this, but before we had the real black president, remember when Bill Clinton was supposedly the first black president? Well, Tim Walls is going to be the first Chinese vice president of our country.
That's not concerning at all. Turkey Parliament descends into chaos as dozens of MPs take part in a fist fight. Gosh, that's so freaking cool. I don't know why we don't do that in our country. I wish our Congress worked that way. It'd be sweet. Anyway, we'll do this again tomorrow, okay? That's all.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.